Blog Talk Radio.
Prophecy Quake.
This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words: I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
Tonight here on Blog Talk Radio. My name's Pastor Dean Odell, and we welcome you here. Good to have you. We will be taking callers later on in the broadcast tonight. We're going to cover a very, very important subject, the coming alien deception. We're going to discuss how Satan and his fallen angels, I believe, are going about to bring about one of their greatest deceptions that they have ever perpetrated on mankind. But before we get to that tonight, and also let me just say this, we're going to have a special guest with us tonight, a minister friend and director of the AHOP, Auburn House of Prayer here in Auburn, Alabama, Justin Eldred. He's going to be with us to share some dreams and prophetic dream and vision that he's had about this, but he'll be with us later in the show. But, of course, many of you may already know, even in our intro, we used part of a prophecy given by Steve Hill, who was the evangelist that led the Brownsville Revival from 1995 to 2001. He's definitely a man of God, and many of you already know, but if you don't, he passed away this week. And truly, Christianity has lost a true minister of the gospel, a true general, a true man of God who loved the Lord and loved lost souls and preached and prayed and served the Lord with all of his heart. And I just want to share this. You know, a lot of people love to criticize things and they love to come against things, but I am an eyewitness of the Brownsville Revival. One of my friends was on staff there. He was the children's pastor, Van Lane, during the revival, and I started going to it in 1996. And went regularly, weekly, for a very long time. I went every week, drove from Montgomery, Alabama, down to Pensacola. I was in the services, and the power and the presence of God was just strong and beyond what you could even imagine. And Steve Hill never failed to lift up Jesus Christ, to preach the cross, the power of the blood of Jesus and his resurrection, and he called sinners to repent and prodigals to come home, and the power of God moved in that place, and literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, were saved or brought back to the Lord through his ministry. So we know he went to be with Jesus, but we are going to miss him and his ministry because he stood up for the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So before we go any further, we're going to play the Daystar Network did a tribute to Steve, and we're going to play that right now, and then we'll be right back.
Pastor Steve Hill has dedicated his life to spreading God's truth to the broken and hurting worldwide. His genuine heart for revival has come from years of evangelistic crusades, missions, and church planting. In 1995, Steve served as the evangelist of the Brownsville Revival in Pensacola, Florida. The incredible series attracted more than 4 million people through its doors looking for breakthrough in their lives.
I want everyone within the sound of my voice to make it to heaven. And sin is the thing that'll keep you out.
Thousands came from all around the world, weeping at the altar and giving their hearts to Christ. At the revival, Pastor Steve shared his powerful testimony on how God delivered him from a life of drugs, alcohol, and crime.
I was a felon.
and they gave me back my rights. I lost everything. And I looked at that, I went, Jesus, your word says you'll restore the years that the locusts have eaten.
Addictions were broken, marriages restored, and lives were dramatically transformed. So how did this man go from risking his life to preaching in the pulpit? As a teenager, Hill became heavily involved in drugs. When he was 21, his body began to shut down one Saturday morning. He suffered extreme convulsions for 3 days.
I always wanted to get rid of drugs, but there came a time where a Lutheran minister came into my home, and he looked me straight in the eyes, and he said, Steve, Jesus Christ can deliver you. He can set you free!
It was then that Steve began to desperately call out on the name of Jesus, and his convulsions stopped. He was immediately healed. That day, he gave his life to God and never looked back. In 2003, Steve and his wife Jerry founded Heartland Ministries Church, a group of thriving believers in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Pastor Steve Hill's powerful testimony continues to transform lives around the globe.
Amen. Powerful life lived for Jesus there, Steve Hill. If you've never listened to any of his messages, I encourage you to look him up on YouTube or go to his ministry website. One of the great preachers. I'll never forget, he prayed for me many times at the Brownsville Revival, and the power of God touched my life, and the anointing increased on my life. And I'll never forget messages that he preached, like the silence of God, check the tree, and the Savior's Serenade, and just powerful messages that God dropped on his heart. And I have personally witnessed thousands run to the altar and give their lives to Jesus. And I even got to be a counselor up at the altar call time, because, of course, I was a pastor then as well, so I got to be a counselor there. So the Brownsville Revival is special to me, and Steve Hill and Jerry Hill and John Kilpatrick and all the people that were instrumental in that God used, they were special people. So anyway, like I said before, Steve, we will miss Steve Hill, but you got to envy him a little bit too. He is he's with the one he loved the most. He's with Jesus right now. So anyway, hope you didn't mind that. But let's go on and dig into our subject tonight. We're going to talk about the coming alien and deception that I believe that the devil is going to bring on mankind. And I have the Lord, I've preached a couple of messages on this subject over the last few years, and I talked about it all the way back into the 90s. As a matter of fact, a great book that I read back in the mid to late 90s was called UFOs, Friend, Foe, or Fantasy by William Goetz. And it's a great book, a biblical perspective on the phenomenon of the century. And truly, we've got to figure out something because we cannot deny it. Yes, are there hoaxes out there when it comes to UFOs and aliens? Yes. There's some hoaxes. Are there people lying and making up stuff? Yes. But here's what U.S. astronaut Edgar Mitchell said, and he is quoted saying this in UFO magazine, but he said, we all know that UFOs are real. All we need to ask is, where do they come from? And that's the real issue. It's not that it's not real. Something real is going on out there. There's been too many pictures, too many videos, too many encounters. And then when you bring into play, well, okay, something out there is going on. What is it? When you start thinking about that, then, as Christians, we should not just stick our heads in the sand and ignore what's going on in the world. A lot of people give me a bit of a hassle when you talk about it. They give me a bit of a hassle and say, why do you talk about this stuff? What difference does it make? But I look at it this way, guess what? You might not be interested or questioning or wondering what in the world this whole phenomenon is about UFOs and aliens and so on and so forth, but there are a lot of people out there that they are really looking into this, and they're really curious, and they really want an answer, and they believe and know something's going on. They may not be sure if it is, you know, aliens or not. But for the Christian, the Bible's always told us there's an alien existence. The Bible's always told us that, and I'm not talking about extraterrestrials or life on other planets, but God has always told us that there were other entities in the universe apart from him and apart from human beings. And, you know, here's what happens to the world. Whenever you reject the word of God, you set yourself up to be deceived. And the world, for the most part, most of the church world, including the Vatican, and we're going to look at that in a second, we're going to see how they are preparing to accept, and they believe that there's going to be an appearance of aliens, and they're ready to accept this and to delve into this, and that it's going to change, what they say is it's going to change our religious views and our worldviews when what they call the event takes place. So we're going to get into this. Before we do, I just want you to hear a little excerpt. We pulled some excerpts from some TV shows that have been on out there, some different people that have been commenting on this. But you need to hear what's being said, and then I'm going to give you some quotes and stuff. But we need to look at this, because deception is what Satan and the fallen angels and the demons, that's what they're all about. And I'm going to read this from Matthew 24, but Jesus said this. He said in verse 21 of Matthew 24, he said, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then, if any man say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ, plural, and false prophets, plural, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now, for any Christian that has any, even the basics, understanding of end-time prophecy and eschatology, for any Christian, we know, you know, that there's going to be a false Messiah come, the Antichrist, and a false prophet who works with him. So we know the Bible is very clear in Revelation 13 and Revelation 17 that there's two entities. There's the false prophet and there's the Antichrist. But there's going to be more than that. Now, I love how the Bible is always very specific that there will be not just a false Christ, but false Christ, plural, or false saviors, or Messiah figures. There's going to be false prophets, plural, and it says that these false Christs, plural, false saviors, and false prophets will show great signs and wonders, and that those signs and wonders would be so convincing that if it were possible, they would be able to deceive the very elect, the very chosen and precious ones of God. So Jesus warns us here that there's going to be an end-time deception with great signs and wonders and multiple false Christs and false prophets and false saviors and Messiah. Now, I firmly believe those multiple things are going to be different entities of the enemy that appear in these last days, but we'll look at that in a second. I want you to hear, this is from a TV show called Unsealed. They did a special about the UFOs and the Vatican and how the Vatican is preparing to be involved in this deception with the world. But here, I want you to hear this little excerpt right here, and we will pick it up after this.
Global effort has begun. Secret files hidden from the public for decades, detailing every UFO account, are now available to the public. We are about to uncover the truth behind these classified documents. Find out what the government doesn't want you to know. Unsealed. Alien files. Exposing the biggest secret on planet Earth. April 2nd, 2005. Pope John Paul II, the second longest-serving pope in history, dies. He is praised as being one of the most influential leaders in the 20th century. April 8th,
at 6:03 a.m. Hours before John Paul's funeral, an unidentified flying object is filmed by a security camera observing St. Peter's Basilica. Could this mysterious object be evidence of a connection between the Vatican and alien life? A connection that theorists and historians believe has existed since the creation of the Church. The possibility that this craft came to pay its respects to the Pope and his people is more likely than you think. The Vatican, epicenter of the Roman Catholic faith. Representing one-sixth of the planet's population, it is one of the world's oldest and most powerful institutions, either at the center of faith or controversy. Most recent and shocking that this holy order could be part of one of the biggest cover-ups in UFO history.
The Church is getting ready to embrace life outside of planet Earth as part of creation.
According to UFO theorists, Vatican officials have possessed knowledge of alien life for centuries. A claim so explosive and world-changing that generations of popes and cardinals have categorically denied the accusations. But what if the claims are true?
Well, as you heard there, the Vatican is knee-deep in this deception that's going to come on mankind. Now, before we get into this any further, let's look at some of the realities, because we know that there's something going on. All the pictures, even recently, I shared it this past Sunday, over the Ukraine was a silver cylinder-shaped UFO flying around the Ukraine. There's been pictures all over the world going all the way back to the 1800s in Mount Washington, New Hampshire in 1870. There was the first picture we know of a UFO, unidentified flying object. It looked like a cigar almost, or an elongated cylinder. You have pictures of them over Illinois, April 23rd, 1950, Holland Air Force Base, 1957. I mean, it just keeps going on down all over the world. Norway, 1957, another kind of cylinder, scroll-shaped disc. Taipei, China in 1960s. Another one you had in India near New Delhi, 1964. I mean, these are just on and on and on. And, I mean, there's one in Puerto Rico in 1988, the picture of an actual fighter jet chasing one of these elongated silver-type cylinders flying through the air that no one really knows what it is. There's another picture I'm pulling up here looking at from Hungary in 1996. I mean, it's just over and over. And there's one common denominator that seems to keep happening, and that is they have an elongated cylinder shape, and it's not always the exact same way, but the majority of these appearances are, and all you have to do is just Google a search on UFOs and look at the pictures, pull up the images, and you'll see that most of the images that are being photographed or filmed are these elongated scroll-looking, roll-looking cylinder-type things. So, we got to ask the question, okay, does the Bible say anything about this? Now, we know that Jesus said that there would be signs in the heavens, fearful signs in Luke 21. He said there would be fearful signs in the heavens. And then we know that we just read that these false Christs and these false prophets are going to do great signs and wonders. Matter of fact, from Revelation 13, we find out that the false prophet's going to be able to call down fire out of heaven. So we don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but they're going to have power to operate in the heavens, which, of course, there's three heavens. There's our atmosphere, there's outer space is the second heaven, and then the third heaven is where the throne of God is, where Jesus is there interceding for us now and getting ready to return. But in the heavens, so we know that there's this war going on in the heavens and this deception going on. But there's an interesting passage in the book of the prophet Zechariah that, even though I've listened to different radio shows talk about this alien deception that people believe that the fallen angels and Satan are going to come and pretend to be aliens to deceive mankind, I just began to look through the scriptures, and I really haven't heard any of them talk about this passage in Zechariah 5. And it's powerful because we know the book of Zechariah contains a lot of end-time Bible prophecy. I don't even have time to go through it all. But in Zechariah 5, 1 through 4, Zechariah, the prophet, seeing the future, God showing him the future, shows him this vision. And then to many people, of course, you got to remember this was before airplanes. This was before helicopters. This was a long, long time ago. This was, we're going back 2,500 years ago. But Zechariah 5, 1 through 4 says this. He says, "Then I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll." Flying roll. Now, let me say this. In the Hebrew, the word roll there can also be translated scroll. So what he was describing is some kind of elongated cylinder-shaped type thing flying in the air. So here's the Bible, 2,500 years ago, said, "I turned and I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll," or a flying scroll. "And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll," a flying scroll. "The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. And then he said unto me, This is the curse that goes forth over the face of the whole earth." So right now he's talking about that he saw something in the air. Now, and he gives us the dimensions. It wasn't like a plate flying in the air. He said, "I saw this thing, and it looked to be 20 cubits long and about 10 cubits wide." So it was an elongated cylinder, and 20 cubits is about 30 feet. So he's saying it was about 30 feet by 15 feet flying in the air. Well, this was a vision from God. This was not an actual, he looked in the sky and saw this. This was a vision, and God was showing him this. But what's interesting is this is what we see worldwide, all the places I just told you, just a few, where they see these flying rolls, these flying elongated, silvery, sometimes they're not, but most of the time they are, type cylinders that look like cigars, or they look like, you know the classic flying saucer look. And he even gives us the dimensions. You know, 30 feet by 15 feet would be the size of a small airplane, like a Cessna. So Zechariah is saying, "Look, then I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. And the length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. And then said he unto me, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth." So he says, this is a curse. Now, a curse is something that's evil, that's wicked, that's from Satan, that's from the dark side. So he's saying, this is the curse that's going to go forth over the face of the whole earth. And then he says, "For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off, as on this side according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off, as on that side according to it, and I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts," Jehovah, Yahweh. "And it shall enter into the house of the thief and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of his house and shall consume it with the timbers thereof and the stones thereof." So Zechariah is saying there is going to be something in the air, flying cylinders, that is a spiritual curse that's going to enter into the house of people who live in sin. He says the people that steal, that swear, the people that swear falsely by his name, and he says that it's going to go into their houses and destroy them. Well, what I believe, the only thing, something like that, that can move into people's houses is spiritual. It's also a belief system, an ideology. So this is something that I believe the Bible is directly speaking to the UFO phenomena. I believe it's directly revealing to us that this is not a good thing. There are many UFO alien advocates out there who say they are communicating telepathically and mentally and psychic, you know, with psychic abilities, they're communicating with these entities, and that they're saying, you know, that they're coming to help us. They're going to help mankind move into a new era of peace and prosperity, and they're going to stop wars, and they're going to do all this stuff. But the Bible's warning us that this flying scroll phenomenon is not something good. It is a curse, and it's going to go into the house of everyone who will not turn loose his sin, or everyone who's a phony, fake, or lukewarm Christian, and it's going to deceive them because they don't love the truth. Now, you think about this. You think I'm lying? What would happen tomorrow to many, many people who call themselves Christians, and many people across the board who are maybe on the fence wondering whether they should believe in God, believe in Jesus, follow the Bible, if there was a massive appearance of, say, huge ships appeared over the White House, and President Obama came out and did a press conference that we have been visited by an alien race, and they're here to help us, and they're here to save us from war and destruction, and that really they are from a far, far galaxy, but the secrets of our own existence and our own creation and our own being, everything, that really begin to look at them as God, as the creators, as the ones who are really the saviors of mankind. Now, if you think what I'm saying here is far-fetched, right, say, oh, this is just, you know, Pastor Dean, he gets out there sometimes. Well, there's another guy. Because the Roman Catholic Church sure believes this, and it's going to blow your mind when you realize what some of their leaders are saying about this UFO phenomenon and aliens showing up. And here's what the Jesuit brother, MIT graduate and Harvard, former Harvard professor, who's now assigned to the Vatican Observatory, Brother Guy Consolmagno, this is what he said. This is a very smart man. This is a man who has a doctorate, has his PhD in astronomy and physics. I mean, he went to MIT, and he was a Harvard professor, but he is a Jesuit. He is a Catholic priest. I find it very interesting that he's of the same order, of course, as the new Jesuit Pope Francis, the first Jesuit pope ever. But listen to what Brother Guy Consolmagno said. Again, he's the chief at the Vatican Observatory, and this is what he said. He said, very soon the nations will look to aliens for their salvation. Now, I don't know. This man can go meet with the Pope at any time he gets ready. He goes to the Vatican. He's at the Vatican all the time. This is one of the head honchos in the Roman Catholic Church. And he said this, Brother Guy Consolmagno, check me out. Very soon, the nations will look to aliens for their salvation. Wait a minute now. I thought if you were a Christian church, you were supposed to look to Jesus for your salvation. You were supposed to look to the cross. You were supposed to look to the power of God and the truth of the Bible, the truth of Scripture. I think we're supposed to be looking for the coming of Jesus. This man is directly telling us that we should be looking for other saviors to come. This is dangerous, folks. Now, he's not the only one inside the Vatican. There's another Vatican leader. He's a professor at the Vatican University, Father Giuseppe Tanzellaniti. Yes, I'll say that again. Father Giuseppe Tanzellaniti. He's a professor at the Vatican University, mind you, a post you don't get very easily. He said, very soon we will not have to deny our Christian faith, but there is information coming from another world, and once it is confirmed, it is going to require a rereading of the gospel as we know it. Well, what does that mean? I think it's very clear what these guys are saying. They know something is coming. They know there's an event coming, and they are preparing the world, and really the Vatican and the Roman Catholic Church is trying to be on the cutting edge of saying, we knew this, we were preparing for this, and we're going to help the world embrace this. If you understand that these beings that they are talking about are aliens are really Satan, his fallen angels, demon spirits, masquerading as angels of light, masquerading as deceivers, then you're realizing that the Catholic Church is trying to convince the world to accept Satan. It's really the only thing you can come down to. Now, if you don't believe that, let's look at a few more here. This man has passed away, but Monsignor Corrado Balducci, he was the Vatican spokesman for a long time on the subject of exorcisms, on the subject of the paranormal, and on extraterrestrial life. And this is what he said publicly on Italian television. He said, quote, "There is an alien presence on Earth now." And he wasn't talking about demons. He made a very clear distinction between demons and what he believed to be extraterrestrial or aliens. I just present to you, there's no distinction. You know, Jesus came to Earth as a man to die for mankind, the one true God, the God who created us. I believe that mankind and that we're uniquely created in the image of God, that God made this place, the earth, to be inhabited by men. I firmly do not believe that there is life on other planets anywhere in this galaxy. God wanted to have children, and he made man in his own image, and man listened to that lying deceiver, Satan, and lost the earth to a curse, to death and destruction, and that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, had to come back and shed his blood to redeem the earth and to redeem man from the deception and the sin and the power of Satan. And this drama, the greatest drama of all the universe, is played out on, yes, just this little blue rock called Earth. I don't believe Jesus didn't go to other planets to die for other cultures. I don't believe for one second that God created life anywhere else. It's ridiculous. Matter of fact, and the Bible really spells it out for us that they didn't. So, but here's again my point from earlier. If you reject the Bible, the God's holy word, Genesis to Malachi and then Matthew to Revelation, if you reject the words of the living God, you're going to be deceived at some point. You're going to be deceived by Satan, by the fallen angels. They will masquerade. They will come as an angel of light, and they will deceive you. They will look good and sound good, but you will be tricked and deceived. Now, this is what some unsaved, totally non-Christian writers, a guy by the name Richard M. Dolan and Bryce Zabel, they wrote a book called AD, After Disclosure, When the Government Finally Reveals the Truth About Alien Contact. Now, in their book, they made this statement about the Roman Catholic Church, about the Vatican. Says, the world's largest church seems to be positioning itself to be at the forefront of disclosure. The Vatican has long maintained several major astronomical observatories and a collection of radio telescopes. In recent years, its hierarchy has stated in one form or another that we have company. Perhaps they know something is afoot or suspect its inevitability. So even the unsaved who are pushing for governments of the world to put out all their evidence and all their documentation that they've had encounters with this alien life or alien life forms, which, again, I'm going to say it again, that are just fallen angels deceiving them and playing games with them, convincing them they're aliens. These guys are saying, look, the Vatican is placing itself in a position to be at the forefront of this event. Now, I don't know about you, but I just find it interesting, right? Because even if you go to the show, and I never watched, I remember watching the 1980s version of the show that came on TV about the aliens coming and pretending to be peaceful, but really were here for evil purposes. And, of course, a few years ago, they came out with a new version of V. But I found it very interesting in the new version of D that the aliens worked directly with the Roman Catholic Church. And so I think we're seeing very clearly where this is all heading. Just to give you one more quote from a former Jesuit, Father Malachi Martin. He, of course, is no longer with us. He had an unfortunate accident and that I don't think was an accident. He was revealing a little bit too much of what was going on behind the scenes in the Vatican. But this is what he said right before he had an unfortunate accident down some stairs or something. I can't remember now. But he said, the highest levels of the Vatican governance know what is approaching the earth, and it will be of the utmost importance in the coming years. So let's just get something clear. Whether you believe this or not, the Vatican believes it. The Vatican believes that there is going to be a day when there is a major to the revelation of ETs, aliens, these, I like to call them extra dimensionals. They're really not from other planets. They are just from other dimensions called the spirit world. But anyway, I'm going to read something for you here in just a second here. If you have your Bibles out there, you probably want to turn to it. It's in 2 Thessalonians. And the one reason this is so important is because this whole subject is connected to the rise of the Antichrist. And we find that very clearly, I think, in 2 Thessalonians. And I'm just going to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then, of course, if you want to call, you're very welcome to call in here in just a minute. But let's read this. This is 2 Thessalonians 2, because this is another revelation, too, of the great deception of the last days. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, this is 2 Thessalonians 2, 1, I'm sorry. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now let's just drop down to verse 8. And it says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So what we have here is God warning us that in connection with the Antichrist will come to power with tremendous satanic deceptions and signs and wonders, and that God's going to allow something pretty spectacular in the realm of deception. He's just going to back off, and he's going to allow it for people who did not love the truth of his word, who would rather have pleasure in unrighteousness and not want to live in righteousness, not want to walk with Jesus, not want to stay true to the word. So it says very clearly that God's just going to allow them to be deceived. And so what's about to happen is going to be very, very going to be very, 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 very amazing here. Well, listen, what we're going to do right now we're going to take a break on that. We'll be back in just a minute. And just stay with us.
Is coming, seems like the signs are lining up. As far as I can see, we're closer now than ever. This pain won't last forever. Love, love is on its way.
You're back here with Prophecy Quake and Pastor Dean Odle. We're going to bring on our caller here, Pastor Billy Painter, to be joining us here. Hey, brother, are you there?
Hey, how are you, Pastor Dean, Pastor Kevin? How are you guys doing this evening?
Doing good, man. How are you doing?
Excellent, excellent. Hey, I don't know if you guys mentioned this, but I tuned in a little bit late, but name of the telescope that the Roman Catholic Observatory uses, which, as
right.
we know, is named Lucifer. Interesting, is it not?
Yes. Yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah, their observatory is on Mount Graham, Arizona, and they have a infrared camera, which is called Lucifer. So... Yeah, brother, you're right on.
Hey, you know, something else that I find quite interesting is that the media, the entertainment industry and such, has never stopped the propaganda of deceiving people. We have a whole generation of people who have grown up now with movies and video games that glorify this alien deception. And they're going to be so easily duped when this is put forth as such, when we know that in actuality it's really demonic attacks. And it's almost like the end game is ripe for the picking.
Right. Well, when you think about it, I mean, they've got this series on the History Channel, Ancient Aliens. They play it over and over and over again,
mm-hmm.
and then we've just been brainwashed through Star Wars, Close Encounters, E.T., Men in Black, Contact, Independence Day. I mean, you just name it. You know, the X-Files, Star Trek. I mean. We know that the Illuminati, the Satanists, control Hollywood. We know that they control what is put out. Now, if they're putting out so much of this alien contact and this pushing the fact that aliens exist and there's one day there's going to be contact, I think they believe it.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, I agree with you, man, 100%. We've been brainwashed. We've been inundated with it, and so when it actually happens, I think a lot of people are going to look to these beings that show up and reveal themselves as saviors, as somehow gods or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. And then, I mean, with the New Age type of influence in the church today, and how so many people are just sold out on. More than one way to get to God, to get to heaven. The
right.
deception just blooms and blossoms. It's almost like a cancer, man. It just is growing and growing and growing. And that's why people such as yourself, true prophetic watchmen, are so important for right now. And I applaud you, brother, for standing tall and putting forth a broadcast such as this, because it's so greatly needed in this time, in the days in which we live in, man. So, seriously, I applaud you. I mean, that's your job well done.
Well, thanks, brother. Thanks for calling. Listen, Justin is here. We're going to take our guest, Justin Eldred. So, brother, be praying for us and stick around. We may need to chat in a little while. Call back in just a little while, brother. All right,
definitely. God bless you guys.
All right, bless you too, Brother Bill. All right, well, we have our guest also tonight. Our scheduled guest there is Justin Eldred. Justin, are you with us tonight?
Yes, how are you, Pastor Dean? Good to hear from you. Good to talk to you.
I'm good. Well, good to talk to you too. If the radio is on in the background, it's going to be some echo, so you need to turn that off.
Okay, I have all radio should be off. I will just double check by closing any computer window that might be open.
Okay.
I don't know if that helps.
I'm hearing some echo from somewhere. Maybe on our side.
Okay, I do hear an echo too. It's a little. I can make it out.
I think you got it.
Okay, great.
I'm sorry. That's our little difficulty there. I think it was picking up. I think Kevin's mic was on and it was picking it up still, but that's all right. But anyway,
okay.
Let me introduce, this is Justin Eldred. He's the director of the Auburn House of Prayer here in Auburn, and we met when I first came back to Auburn, my hometown area. We met back in 2009 and have fellowshiped some, but he is a man of God. He's a prophetic minister, and the other day, of course, he didn't know that I'd started a radio show, and he just posted a dream on Facebook. He posted a dream that he had with a very strong prophetic word for the need to repent. And what was amazing to me is the Lord had just told me that morning to do the show on the coming alien deception, and the dream he posted had to do with this alien UFO phenomenon. So I just felt led of the Lord to ask Justin to come on and to share the dream and vision that he felt was from the Lord and what people need to do to get ready for what's coming. So, Dustin, just go ahead and share what God showed you and the word with it. And we'll just be listening, man. We'll
Amen.
Hear what
hey,
the Lord's
thank you,
saying
Pastor.
Through you.
Thank you, Pastor Dean. I appreciate the privilege to speak tonight and, of course, really value what you're doing with the show and getting the word out to people and getting a place for even a dream like this to come forward. It's really important right now. God is definitely speaking about these things, and to have a place for the body of Christ to tune in is really huge and amazing. So I'm just going to continue praying for the show from our house of prayer here in Auburn. Let me go ahead and give the dream. This happened earlier this week, and I was again, what I dreamt was a pretty quick dream. Sometimes I'll have lengthy dreams. Other times they're pretty quick and to the point. This one's more of quick and to the point. And I believe the Lord was showing me a strategy that's coming forth right now on the earth, particularly in America, with the demonic and fallen angels manifesting, which we haven't seen before. But what I saw was I was actually sitting on a high place overlooking the nation of America. And when I looked out over the land, my eyes were caught to the heavens where I saw what looked like UFOs flying around, you know, those the lights that you see on typical UFO video or something. And there was multiple of these lights. And so as I was watching them, all of a sudden one of them dropped to the earth, boom, and just hit the ground and immediately turned into a demonic fallen angel entity. And he had a full shield, round shield, and a sword. And I could tell he was fallen. He was a dark creature, had the dark, just darkness inside him. And immediately his eyes looked up and began to look. And I could tell in the spirit, just knowing by the spirit, that he was looking for the vulnerable and the compromised. And whether that was out of Christ or in Christ, he was going to go and begin to entice people into greater levels of sin and taking what may be an iniquity or an inner level battle and try to push it with more pressure into a transgression. So I know that the devil's always seeking like a roaring lion whom he may devour, but I felt there's an intensity coming on in this time frame over our nation, particularly as we're facing judgments and we're coming to a very distinct time frame of God moving on the earth and shaking this nation. So as I woke up, I felt, wow, I've got to warn the brethren, and of course the world needs to be warned. But I believe even within the body of Christ, we need to be very, very careful that our hearts are walking in purity and holiness before God, that there aren't any secret areas that are open for attack or vulnerability for the enemy. A verse that I want to bring tonight that I felt was going along with that, and I love that you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In fact, that was in my spirit. I was going to today before I came on the show. I'm like, I want to read that whole chapter tonight if Pastor B would let me, because I feel it's so relevant and pertinent to what God is speaking to the church concerning these things right now. But then you went ahead and read it. So I'm like, wow, that's amazing.
Hey, you can read it again. You can read it again, brother.
Okay. Let me do – I'd love to read that again. It's actually – yeah, let me read that again. I'd love to do that. The other one I had is in 1 Timothy 2. But this one, all right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, again, for anyone who's listening. Getting over there. I was parking another verse. Okay, so read this, and as I read this, just listen carefully who Paul is addressing and what he's addressing. It's really concerning the times we're going into and the revealing of the lawless one or the son of perdition and just the condition of the church and people on the earth at that time, and where we need to be very careful and discerning the times that we're in. So starting with verse 1, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I'll go on through the rest of verses, but that's kind of the main crux right there. But let me finish with 13 through 17. Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to flip over to this other one here. Okay, and this is 2 Timothy 2:19 through 21. And this is also a condition I really encourage the believers, the household of faith, to let the Holy Spirit examine our hearts and make sure that we're right, that we're walking in the righteousness of God, that we're obeying the commandments of the Lord, that we're staying holy, and we're pursuing transformation toward his image and toward his character and his likeness, not to the likeness of the world. So this says it better than anyone could put it. I really appreciate how Paul wrote this. I'm just going to read it again. 2 Timothy 2, verses 19 through 21. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So I just appreciate the clarity that the Lord is calling church to. There's a difference between believing a gospel of simply being forgiven, and that's part A of the gospel. But the gospel is really the gospel of the redeemed, which means not only you're forgiven and pardoned, but you're also brought back into the likeness and image of God, which Pastor Dean was speaking about earlier tonight. So we want to make sure that our life is not just atoned for before God by the blood of Jesus, but that blood of Jesus, that atonement, is actually working out an eternal weight of glory in the transformation of ourselves, body, soul, and spirit, to be more like the image of Christ. And that's one test that we can say: are the things I'm giving myself to, are those things that I'm consuming spiritually or whatever, are they truly transforming my inner man to be more like Christ, or am I looking more like the world? This is an important question to be examining ourselves with right now, I believe. Pastor Dean?
Yeah, and, you know, scripture came to my mind about this because this, you know, God loves us. He's so patient. He's merciful. He will forgive us. But there's this thing that I think most of the church has just forgotten, where Jesus said that we must take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow him. And, you know, we just read 2 Thessalonians 2. You know, I read it, and then Justin read it. But in 2 Thessalonians 1, he says this here. This is in verse 7. He says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." So again, talking about the time of the second coming, he says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." So the Bible is very clear here. It says that Jesus, when he returns, the punishment, those who find themselves on the wrong side, not on the Lord's side, is because they did not know God and they did not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one thing to believe the gospel. It's another thing to obey the gospel. And that's where, the American church, the seeker-sensitive movement, the driven movement, you know, there may be some good aspects in there, but it's watered down so much, and so this is just left out. And we don't, I mean, I just read what Paul wrote here, and sometimes you could just read this and go, wow, you know, he's coming to, you know, in flaming fire, taking vengeance. I mean, these are words we don't like to use in church anymore at all, and I'm not saying I like to use them, but they're written there, and my job as a minister of the gospel is to preach it all. And so that's why I knew, too, that it was important for folks to hear what God's been showing me, Justin, because the key to not being deceived, the key to being ready to face what's coming, and there's a whole lot of things coming, not just the demonic deception, the demonic manifestations that are going to deceive people, but so many people are deceived because they like their sin more than they like, really they love their sin more than they love God. And that's going to open them up for all kinds of deception. You know, the Pope, and I mentioned this last week, the Pope recently said that atheists will go to heaven if they do good works.
Mm.
Now this, you think about that now. But someone who deep down loves their sin, loves, say, drunkenness, or loves, you know, sexual immorality, or loves to steal, or loves to cheat, or, you know what I'm saying? They've got something they love. And so instead of being told by supposedly the leader of Christianity, which I don't believe he is, but you know what I'm saying, supposedly being told that even an atheist will go, doesn't even have to believe in Jesus. You don't have to have faith in Jesus. You don't have to do anything. Just try to be a good person. And everybody's got a different idea of what it means to be a good person. But the Bible right here is very clear. You got to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and know God, and or you're going to be deceived by something. Even if you recognize that the coming aliens are just demons and you don't even accept that, something else can get you. Some other deception can get you. You know, so that, you know, to me, that the passage we read in 2 Thessalonians ought to scare people. You know, that God will stand strong delusion because they did not love the truth, and they did not, and they had more pleasure in unrighteousness than they had in righteousness. So I think more than anything, there's a self-deception that's out there, you know.
We need to be very careful, because I think there's a tendency in the body of Christ right now to be very naturally minded, or what we could also say carnally minded. That's not necessarily immorally minded. It's just carnally minded. It's discerning things by the natural man, not by the spiritual man. The natural man, I don't think you could find one person using logic according to the natural man who would disagree with the statement that if we exist on this planet, how could there not be anybody else out on another planet somewhere? That'd be a very natural argument, logical argument, just for the fact that we exist on this planet. But again, if we don't know what the Word of God says concerning truth and concerning true spirituality, then we're going to let the world define that, or logic or carnal understanding without the Bible, without the Spirit of God, begin to set the tone and the description for what is happening right now. So we go back to the Word of God, and that's our plumb line. That is where we chart our course. We understand what these things are. God has already mentioned this phenomenon occurring, as you had spoken about before, through Genesis 6. So it's not like there's no grid. And I fear that, because if we don't, as a church, begin to talk about these things and begin to bring them up, but then also give the spiritual, biblical perspective and be loud about it, be bold about it, when this deception appears, whenever that is and however that happens, people will go to the people who are talking about it. And like you said, the positioning of the Catholic Church to be in front of this issue should make us all very nervous, especially with how they're interpreting it. Very dangerous, very contrary to biblical, the sound doctrine. So there's some thoughts on that.
and this is something, you know, we've had some discussions as, you know, in the last few months. I've talked a little more about the, you know, the Genesis 6 issue and the giants and what that was all about and what was going on there. And, of course, more and more archaeological evidence is coming forth, DNA evidence that there was a race of giants and beings that were part human and part fallen angel. But I've always believed this because, you know, Jesus said this, and I'm going to read Luke 17 because this is part of this. Why, some people may be asking out there that's listening or will listen to this archive broadcast, and they'll go, you know, okay, well, what is the point? Okay, all right, so maybe some demons are going to show up and, you know, manifest themselves, but they really kind of been manifesting themselves before. But Jesus made this statement about the last days, and it's a very simple verse, and I'm only going to read just the two verses. Well, actually read about three, but this is 17, Luke 17, and he says here, we'll go down to verse 26. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. So he says something, Jesus said something that's just very powerful. He said, like it was in the days of Noah. Well, what was going on? Genesis 6. It says in Genesis 6 that the fallen angels, the sons of God, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and went into them. And we know that in the Old Testament, every reference in the Old Testament, sons of God, was related to the angels. We know that from Job 38, from Job 1 and 2, that it was related to fallen angels. And I talked about this in a message a while back very specifically, but Jesus is the one who said like it was in the days of Noah. So if we look back and we see that fallen angels were coming down, taking some type of physical form, having the ability, and I don't even fully understand this, but having the ability to have sexual relations with human women and create a hybrid race of giant and hybrid beings that God had to wipe out because they were so evil and wicked, I can look at what Jesus said here in Luke and go, what is he saying to us? He's saying that just like it was in the days of Noah, so that has to mean that angels, fallen angels, are going to somehow begin to appear again in the last days before, right before Jesus returned, in physical form, in some type of physical, visible form, interacting with the human race. And so that's why this is pertinent, because Jesus warned us we would get here. You know, people kind of freak out when you use the term alien, but, you know, it's just the new term. You know, back in the Old Testament, they were called gods and goddesses. Now they're going to call them aliens because it sounds scientific, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to happen. And the only people who won't be deceived, it's going to be so powerful. The signs, the wonders, the demonic signs, I'd say, the satanic demonic signs and wonders, the manifestations, and so much of this other stuff is going to have such a powerful effect on people's minds that it's going to be hard unless you know the word, like you said, committed to the word of God and not going by the natural, what you see with your physical eyes, but standing firm on what God said thousands of years ago he warned would happen in these last days. So, brother, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and that's why I believe we should agree 100%. We should shout it loud and long to everybody we can, because they're going to remember who warned them.
Amen.
And hopefully they'll listen to the rest. You know, I look at everything like this. No matter what the devil does and no matter what happens out there, what prophecy is fulfilled, I believe it's all tools. It's all ways that God gave us to point people back to their need for Jesus Christ to come into their life and be their Lord and Savior and to have their sins washed away by his blood and to know what it is to know the living God, the Creator. So, I mean, that's, again, why do we do this? Well, you know, I could be laying on the couch watching TV, or, you know, we could be eating popcorn somewhere watching Auburn baseball game or something, you know, but we want people to be pointed back to, hey, you got to get ready. You got to get ready for the day that he returns or the day you have to face, you know, death. We all going to face that no matter if aliens show up at the White House or not. I think there's an alien in the White House, but an illegal alien. But anyway, that's another show right there.
I find it interesting, Pastor Dean. when the Lord concludes his Olivet discourse, lives in Luke 21, but he says, when you see all these things, he says, lift your heads high, for your redemption draws near. And I think he's appealing to our spirit. In fact, I know he is. He's saying, do not, if you can judge this right, you're going to get excited, not because of the calamities and all these things. Obviously, that's horrible. But this is the fulfillment of the age, and I'm about to show up. And that's what your whole heart, your whole life, your whole desires in living and getting up every day and moving because you've given your hearts to me are going to be fulfilled in the day I show up. And, of course, that will be devastating for those who have rejected me. But for you, I say lift your heads high for your redemption, the redemption of the entire earth, of all that we do is right about to show up. And so that's the posture I believe God wants us to have, not be in fear, to not be afraid, to be sober-minded, but to be ready for every good work that's about to happen. I believe we're going to go into some of the most glorious days the church has ever seen. But we definitely need to die to self, and we need to let the flesh go to the wayside so that the spirit man can take over in these days. And you had quoted Daniel 11:32 when we were on the phone the other day, and I love that verse. But it says, the latter part says, those who know their God, have intimacy with him, know him, living for him, will rise up and display great strength or do great exploits, is what another translation says. But that's a powerful, overcoming posture. And I believe God wants to breathe that into the church right now. If we'll deal with the flesh, if we bring the sacrifice, he'll bring the fire, you know. So,
right. Oh, amen. And that's and that right there, matter of fact, I had turned there while you were talking, and then you quoted that verse in Daniel 11, and I was turning there because I believe God's about to show up and do great things, even in the midst of the darkness. You know, he said that he would, you know, those who knew him in Daniel 12, and he over and says, those that be wise in that time period will shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they would turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So I believe, I totally agree, that God is going to do strong, powerful exploits through his people and use them to turn many people to righteousness, especially as it gets darker. I'll never forget back in January of 1989, that's how powerful it was. God hit me one day when I was reading. I had just flipped to Isaiah 60. And I was reading Isaiah 60 and 1 through 5, and the power of God just hit me, and that jumped off the page, and he was like, this will be for you. This will be for this generation. And it was, you know, when he said, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee, and his glory will be seen upon thee. And then he says, for darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but his glory and his light will be seen upon thee. And then he said, the abundance of the sea will be converted to thee. So I believe that we're going to see, even though we're going to see dark days and difficult times and great demonic deception rise up and a great apostasy, a falling away of the church, I believe that the church that's been in their Bible, that's been on their knees, that's been repenting, that's getting the secret sins dug out and done away with, I believe they're going to be powerful, powerful people. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you saw it, but God gave me a word, a prophetic word for 2014. And I tell people, I said, that doesn't rarely happen. As a matter of fact, the last time he gave me a word for a year was 2001. So it's not something I do every year, but he gave me the word unprecedented. For 2014. Wow. And what he told me was that it would be across the board. It would be, we would see unprecedented things in our government, our economy, our environment, warfare, terrorism. But then he also said to me, we would see unprecedented miracles in our lives, that he would do things, that individual Christians would see miracles and the power of Jesus in their lives like they'd never seen before. Some people are going to raise the dead. That's one of the things he told me. There are going to be people start raising the dead. And I believe that we're going to start seeing more and more great exploits from God's people, even starting this year. I believe that with all my heart. And I think we got a little taste the other night. We saw a brother instantly healed of a speech impediment, instantly. Just
wow. Glory.
He could hardly speak out a clear sentence, and we prayed and bound the demons and commanded them to leave him. in Jesus' name. And he started speaking, and I just thought, you know, that's the way it was. I can go back to the old days. I'm like, that's the way it was back in the old days. I tell people, wonderful. It's almost felt like we've gone through a little bit of drought, you know, since the Brownsville revival. Mm-hmm. It's time. It's time, and I think God's getting people ready. But he gets you ready first with truth. You know, you got to accept the truth. You know, you got to accept the whole truth and be willing to preach the truth, and then he can work through you. That's for sure.
Wow, so well said. Yeah, amen.
Amen, brother. Well, listen, if you got more to share, you can share it. If you want to, whatever you want to do, it's up to you. We have 44 more minutes. But I tell you what, let's do this. Let's take a break. Justin, why don't you stay with us for another minute and pray and say if there's any other vision or dream or word that the Lord wants you to share, that you feel a burden on your heart to get out to the body of Christ. You know, we're flexible here.
Okay.
It's not just one thing. But we're going to take a little break for just a second, and then we'll be right back. So you stay there, Justin, and hopefully all of you listening will stay with us too. Okay, we'll be back in just a minute.
Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change
world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
Here on Blog Talk Radio. Good to have everybody listening out there. I see those of you who've logged into the chat room. We'll be taking your calls. If you want to call in with questions for me or Justin or anybody else, you're welcome to call in. If you don't see the number is 347-884-8566, 347-884-8566. But Justin, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, making sure you can hear me. We're still learning how to run this little control board here.
Sure.
It seems to be going all right. You know, that's our intro. I played there at the end with Steve Hill and the prophecy. And
love it.
I remember going to the Brownsville Revival and being there many, many, many nights and the power of God flowing. But that word. And, of course, we just took a few little excerpts from the entire prophecy. Powerful, powerful word from Steve Hill, who's now with the Lord. But during our break, I mean, is there any other, you know, because I know you shared with me some other dreams and visions that pertain to some things that are coming. And if there's any particular one or two that you really feel that the body of Christ needs to hear and like I said, people are listening now live. There'll be a lot of people who listen to the archive messages, so the word will get out. So just share with us what you feel the Lord has on your heart.
Yes, I'd love to share another dream in particular that I had. And I feel like what God is helping the church kind of come into is knowing that a lot of things that have been hidden in darkness are beginning to be revealed and brought into the light. It's a promise he actually made that there will be nothing hidden that will not be brought out into the light. So that's for our own sakes, and we need to take it as a sober reminder that we're living right before the Lord. By the way, I'll park there for a second, but if Steve Hill were to speak from heaven, I personally believe he'd say, repent and get ready, church. Get ready for your finest hour, but repent and be zealous. So I don't know if he'd send a loving greeting. You know, he'd send that would be very loving, but it'd be very challenging for us to get ready. And that was so Steve Hill. I'd gone to his revival too when I was younger, just filled with the Holy Spirit, and went down there, was on fire for the Lord. And I remember the first time I got to the parking lot, and there was a line to get to church, and that said about everything to me. But then I felt such a conviction coming over my life, and I was already saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, on fire. But it was purge time. It was time to get anything out that was contrary to flowing and walking with the Lamb. And there was such a powerful conviction, such a powerful manifestation of the fear of the Lord, which is a good thing, and it purges you, and you feel broken and weak in the midst of conviction. But the good news of it is when you respond, because conviction doesn't come without hope, but when you respond, the Holy Spirit will give you backbone. And I remember coming away from those meetings broken by conviction of things I need to repent for and say, Lord, clean me, forgive me. I didn't even know that was a problem. That is. I'm so sorry. But I'd come away from those meetings having done that, and I felt so strong in the Lord. I felt such a backbone of righteousness. And it wasn't my own righteousness. It was just a cleanness. It was a righteousness of Christ on my life that I'm not just saved, but I'm walking in the light. And so it's so powerful. And I say just to kind of go into what I was burdened with as far as a dream, but then also with the verses I shared, particularly in 2 Timothy, where it talks about the Lord knowing those who are his. And Paul said, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And there's an onus a little bit that's pushed back on the believer. It's not just, hey, turn to God and just believe and you're fine. You know, that's important. That's a huge part of it. But he says, you know, he who names Christ, let him depart from iniquity. So there's a part in our generation that I think we're very resistant to personal accountability and responsibility before the Lord. And it's almost like we've lost that dynamic of God. And we feel like if God really loves me, he'll never challenge me.
And yet at the same point, that's not what the scripture says. Again, what does the word of God say? He says he rebukes every son he receives. And when he receives, he rebukes. Every son he receives, he scourges. And so we got to understand the definition of love and the Father's love coming from the Bible. And that is great love. And he wants us strong and walking in freedom and free from sin, free from the worldliness of our culture, and walking as true light and true salt. So again, in this first part, it says, let everyone who names Christ depart. So you need to depart from iniquity. You need to choose God. Choose this day whom you'll serve. Is it going to be this pet thing in my life? Or is it going to really be, okay, Lord, you're right. And I celebrate your righteousness. I celebrate the things you stand for. And I know it might be a hard journey for me. I know I've been seduced by the world for so long. But, Lord, I believe you're bigger than that. And I believe you can set me free and that you can teach me to walk holy. You can teach me to walk in your way. And I choose that today. So I ask for your help. It's not by myself, but it's me saying yes and saying, teach me what to do, Lord. I'm going to follow you. And then the second part here, down on 21, it says, verse 21, 2 Timothy chapter 2, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So again, the Otis there is, if anyone, if you cleanse yourself, if there's, and it's, I'm not talking the atoning cleansing of the blood of Jesus. I'm talking of areas where the Lord says, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. You know, it's better that you go into heaven maimed than to have a sin or to be caught in a trespass that you can't get out of or whatever. It's like, cut that thing off. Cut it out of your life. So we want to make sure we understand that it's not just a free fall. It's a thank you that I'm saved. Thank you that I'm atoned for by the blood of Jesus alone, by faith. But what unto now? It's unto me walking like you, even practicing righteousness and walking in the glory. So with that being said, I want to go back to a dream that I had in September, and I call this my Isaiah 24:20 dream. And this was intense because I feel some of the things that are happening again is we talk about disclosure and the government disclosing things that maybe have been hidden from public, but it's also a disclosure time in the time frame of God disclosing things that have been hidden from the public, from us, that have been kept secret. So Isaiah 24 talks about the earth shaking, and there's a judgment coming upon the entire earth, much like what you read in Zechariah. And this judgment on the earth is literally, it's going to cause the earth to be so violently broken and actually split open. And the Bible says in verse 19 and 20, I'll read those two, the earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. So, and there's a latter section of that chapter that's very important, too, to tie in, kind of much like lift your heads up, your redemption draws nigh. But the first part is a shaking and a violent coming on the earth because of the iniquity that's upon the earth. We don't understand how much iniquity is on this earth. When you compare it or contrast it to the glories of heaven, instead of just like, hey, this is normal, no, this is actually way out of sync with heaven right now, and God is bringing it back online, but it's shaking because of, it was never created to be operated in iniquity or operated in sin, and therefore that has even a natural consequence. So this Isaiah 24:20 dream came to me in September, and I'd woken up at 4 or 5 in the morning just to seek the Lord, and he happened to take me right to Isaiah 24. I was going through the prophet Isaiah, and I read that whole section, and afterward I kind of prayed about it. I think I took communion with the Lord or whatever, and then I went back to bed, and I went into a dream, and in this dream I began to see a violent earthshake. I mean, I could feel it literally in my own sleep, and then I looked out and I saw the waters begin to betray the boundaries of the continent, and as that was happening, I just thought in my spirit, I'm like, earth changes, and this is really happening. This verse is really going to happen. It's not a spiritual metaphor. And it was absolutely, it seemed like a little bit like chaos. And then what I noticed is armies around the world began to mobilize during this chaos. And I thought in my spirit again, wow, they knew about this coming and it's been hidden. And that's just, again, I'm just sharing what I'm receiving in the dream and what I saw. And I saw that this was going to be taken advantage of and that we've been hidden as the general public from things like this. And so disclosure, even like aliens or whatever, which would be a masquerading of demons, I hardly agree with Pastor Dean on that. They're trying to reveal that according to their definition and their interpretation. So they own the response and understanding coming forth on that. But I feel like we need to be very discerning of the times. We constantly pray at the house of prayer for a spirit of the sons of Issachar to be upon this generation. so that we can see and know the times, not just what we're in, but what to do. Because we're going to be praying and be really locked on the word so that our grid's not shaken by what the news or whatever is saying about or trying to define it. But be prepared for things coming. This isn't just one of many different dreams I've had of even shakings or calamities at this level coming even on this nation. And I wouldn't presume to give a date or a time on that. I don't always know those things. But I do know these things are coming and that it's best to be prepared. But the ultimate way to be prepared, and that's step one, is to be right with God and make sure that our souls, our hearts are clean, that we are, we've come under the blood, we've believed on Christ, we've turned to him. The good news of Christ is that the gospel is for everybody, no matter who you are. You can turn to the Lord and be saved. And so I want to make sure that we're getting that message out too, and that's the best position before you do anything else for the days that are coming. So those are just some things I want to share there. I've got a few more, but I want to be sensitive to anything. You may have a question about that, Pastor Dean, or a thought.
Well, I'm going to give an opportunity. If anybody listens would like to call in and comment on anything or ask a question, you're welcome to do so right now. I give the numbers 347-884-8566. Again, we have with us Justin Eldred, who's the director at the Auburn House of Prayer, and just sharing some visions and some dreams that the Lord has given him. And, you know, I just want to add this in, just, you know, for those out there, there's a lot of people that think that God doesn't speak anymore and he doesn't give visions anymore. But, of course, Acts chapter 2 says a lot differently. God said, in the last day, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And he said all that right before he said there will be blood and fire and pillars of smoke before the chaos, before, it, you know, the I believe with Brother Justin that there are some major earth events happening. I mean, just the earthquake, you know, God gave me a dream about the Japanese earthquake a year and a half before it happened, even the nuclear meltdown, and I shared those things. But you think about a 9.0 earthquake and it moving the island of Japan 8 to 10 feet, so much that they had to reset GPS and everything. And the Bible talks about islands being moved out of their places and mountains being moved. I think what you're describing is a coming earthquake that, you know, and even the 9.0 that happened and some of the other eights, they literally have said, has caused the earth in its rotation to wobble a little bit. But I think what God shows you there is there's a big one coming, and that's probably going to be bigger than the Japanese 2011 earthquake. And that event, I think what the Lord is saying is that event is going to trigger the moving of armies and literally the war that's coming. Because we know the Bible is very clear that there's going to be a war. Revelation 9, there will be a war starting from the Euphrates River region that will eventually spread all over and kill one-third of mankind. So, the Bible prophecies are going to happen. So I think Brother, John Kilpatrick, who was the pastor at Brownsville Assembly, has in the last few years, I went down to some of his pastor conferences and some of his meetings, revival services they had down there. And he spoke about God showing him that there was going to be an earthquake that would basically change the flow and direction and cause flooding with the Mississippi River and all kinds of stuff. So there are going to be some definite geological changes, environmental changes. The whole planet, and that's what that Isaiah 24 said, the whole planet is under the weight of this, of the transgression of the people on it, the weight of sin, the weight of darkness, the weight of evil. And here's what's so sad. We've all contributed to it. We've all sinned and defiled the land, and we all deserve the wrath and judgment of God. That's what, you know, Christians think they're better than everybody. But that there may be some out there that are full of pride, but a Christian just found out,
that they just found where they could be forgiven. They don't try to, I don't think any true Christian acts that it's exclusive and no one can have it. Nobody else can have it. We want everybody to have it, you know.
Amen.
You know, but there is something you have to do to get it, you know. But that's what a lot of people don't want to do, to get it. So
I'd like to just put a warning out there too, Pastor Dean, and just please pray about this specifically for the listeners in California. I've had two very significant dreams concerning things going on there. And so I submit this for prayer for the body of Christ. It says, let two or three prophets prophesy and the others judge. So please judge us through prayer and the word of the Lord and the word of God. But I saw the L.A. basin literally being overrun by a tsunami wave, and I'm talking the entire L.A. basin. And what happened is the earthquake was triggered so fast off the coast that there was no time for anybody within that area to get out. And as far as Christians who were there, if they were there, they'd go to heaven. But people, if they didn't have a time response, all they had was really to respond to God. So I encourage you, if you feel like the Lord's been telling you to make some decisions concerning where you live or this or that, precautions, please take them. Please go to the Lord in prayer and seek Him for the times that we're in. The other thing concerning California is the area in the San Francisco Bay Area. There's an area called Foster City or whatever, and some of this is built on landfill. And I saw in this one particular dream a gentleman who's pretty well-known in Christian circles, but he had a bullhorn, and he was shouting to the people inhabitants saying, be warned, be careful to flee from those areas that you're living on. He literally built houses on this area. Why they would do that in a very earthquake-prone area, I have no idea. But what I saw in his dream is he was saying the devil had set this up as an opportunity to take lives. And so I just have to put that out there. That's what I saw. And then finally, a third one concerning California. I know California's under amazing droughts right now. All those things are going on. But I had a dream last year at the first of the year where I heard a voice, I believe it was the voice of the Lord, but he said that 2018 is the year that California goes into the sea. And a lot of times when dreams are given, there can be parabolic and also literal, so you have to take time to pray through that. And so I've been very careful not to share that without really putting notice on the person receiving it to seek the Lord concerning that. But this is something I did hear, and I want to make it known just so that people have a chance to respond and to pray, particularly in the California area. And I believe there's judgments coming at catastrophic levels, as Pastor Dean was saying, even within the middle of America and other parts or cities that are known to God. So please be in prayer. Trust the Lord has you where you're supposed to be. Sometimes you'd want to give in maybe the spirit of fear. If you're a Christian, you're trying to do your best. But I really do believe that God will get you where you need to be. And He's a preemptive God. He's not taken by surprise by any of this stuff. And He typically will have you preemptively where you're supposed to be long before it happens. So if God's placed you in an area and you don't know why, you're wondering, hey, this doesn't make sense, but I really feel God has me here, take courage and take heart. Know that the Lord is operating and moving at things, levels way beyond understanding, and He's caring for His people. So, again, make sure your heart is right with the Lord, that everything's clear, and just trust His grace. Forgiveness in Christ is to the Christians, for we have the forgiveness of sins, is what the Bible says. The world doesn't. They have the opportunity for that, but they don't have that until they come to the cross, until they come to Christ. But we have it. So if there's areas you need to forgive, bring it up to the Lord. Talk about it. Say, Lord, forgive me and help me. So get those areas clean so you're at peace with the Lord no matter what happens. And then if there's decisions or things you're praying through, keep praying through them and follow the Lord. Wait for some confirmations, whatever you need. Don't make anything rash. But then as you feel God's revealed it, and husbands and wives work together on that, and wait for the Spirit to confirm it. He will pray and fast if you need. And then follow the Spirit of the Lord as He's directing you. And that would be wisdom for you. So I just want to share those. Yeah. Feel that burden.
No, amen, brother. And I'll be honest, I felt the witness on that. I have a friend that lives out in the Hollywood area, and he's worked out there in the industry in different aspects, but he and I have talked privately. I told him, I said, you know, there's going to be a day you need to get out of there. And he goes, well, when? I said, I can't tell you when. I said, but if you stay close to the Lord, He'll let you know when it's time to get out. But I agree with you. I've seen visions about things coming to the east and west coast of the United States in particular. I lived in Washington, D.C.
And I remember, you know, I love history, and I love history, and I hope no one thinks that we don't love our country. I love the United States of America. It's my home. I've been able to live free here and be blessed, and I wouldn't trade anything to the United States of America. I love it, but I'm not saying it doesn't mean we don't have our problems and we haven't done our things wrong, but I love history, and I love American history as well. And I remember walking down through the mall there in D.C. This was in 2008, and I was walking down through the mall and by the Smithsonian, and, of course, I've been through almost everything there, and I remember walking down through there, and I was looking around at all the, you know, the beautiful buildings and everything, and we all know that place is crazy anyway, but and I felt the Lord just came all over me. He said, it's all going to be destroyed, every bit of it.
Wow.
All this you see will be gone.
Mm.
And,
wow.
You know, there is a reaping, you know, that is coming. Mm. And not just to America. There's some very evil, evil nations out there that are about to, you know, God has his way in the whirlwind.
Mm.
And,
mm-hmm.
And the storm that's coming, he's going to have his way. I like what Henry Gruber said. You know, he's a prophet that, you know, if those of you listening, you've never heard of him, you need to look him up, because the man was right on target. But he prophesied back in the 80s, around 86, that the Russian troops were going to come into the east and west coast. There was going to be Chinese troops coming in to the coast, that there were going to be coastal cities completely wiped out through the war. And he said, somebody asked him, said, when is that going to happen? And he said, when Russia opens its doors and lets the people go free. Well, that was in 1986 when he prophesied this on television, and he prophesied it. And sure enough, it was in 89 when that process began. The Iron Curtain began to collapse, and the Soviet Union fell apart, and Glasnost and Perestroika and all that stuff, and Russia opened its doors and began to let everybody go free. And I was like, wow. So we are in the time. We're in the season. I've had a few people come around and say, you know, oh, we got 50 years, we got 100 years. No, we don't. There's no way. There's no way with every Bible prophecy emerging now on so many different fronts that it's not going to happen soon. So, and maybe we'll talk about that one day too here, about how do we know that we're in the last generation. But I'm just telling you folks, without being able to get into it tonight, we know. It's clear that we're in the last generation. And I want to say this, someone just through chat here, I didn't know about this today. I have been kind of out of the loop today. I hadn't even looked at the news. But that there was a 6.9 quake off the coast of California on Monday. So I missed
wow.
that altogether.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Jesus said one of the signs, and you know what's interesting? He said there would be, in Luke, he said there would be great earthquakes. That means great is the Greek word mega. So he wasn't just saying there would be an increase of earthquakes. He said there would be an increase of mega quakes. And I did a little research on that at the U.S. Geological Survey and found out that in the last, if you go by decade, if you look at earthquakes 8.0 and greater, you know, in the decade, you know, from 1900 to 1910, I think there was one or two. And then, you know, from 1910 to 1920, there was one, you know, and you get all the way up to from 2000, though, to 2011, that decade going into it, there's been like 17.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I think, you know, people say, well, there's always been earthquakes. No, he was talking about an increase of something significant, megaquakes. So I agree with you, brother. I've seen the west coast of the United States being affected by tsunamis and earthquakes and even warfare. So
So those of you out there, yes.
If I may also, I don't mean to introduce another topic, but I do believe because of the urgency of the hour, I feel burdened to share this. And just so the listeners can pray about it, take necessary action, and just really be seeking the Lord concerning these things. But something I've seen vividly in the last month through dreams has been, or since the new year really, has been the issue of the EMP bombs going off in our nation. And those are EMP bombs, electromagnetic pulse bombs. I've had three or four dreams concerning that quickly together. And these are ones that take out communication infrastructures. And literally one of them shook me awake. I heard it in my ears, and it shook me out of my sleep at 3 in the morning. And so for those of you who have been receiving dreams like this or hearing about this, I really encourage you to study what an EMP bomb is, to take necessary precautions that you might, for instance, maybe some having some food on hand or whatever. But that's something I've just seen. And my family and I, we're doing what we can to first and foremost be spiritually prepared, but then also to have some practical resources to fall back on in case you can't access stores or bank accounts or whatever for a short interim amount of time or time period. So I just want to put that out to you. And I believe where I saw this was possibly in the Midwest areas, but again, that's we prophesy part, we fear in part, according to 1 Corinthians 13:9. So take that to prayer. If that's something God's been speaking to you about, or you're feeling that on your spirit, or something in the atmosphere, or you're discerning about spirit, take that seriously and just take a step of investigation concerning that issue. Thank you, Pastor Dean.
Yeah, and oh no, that right there is that's something that we've been telling people to do. We shared about it last week. I hope that, I mean, that's the worst case. Actually, that's the worst case scenario. An EMP goes off over the middle of the United States, and we're back in the, you know, the 1800s real quickly. And most people aren't prepared for that. And they need to be, you need to be prepared. Like Justin said, have extra water on hand, water filtration, extra food on hand, any extra supplies. You got to think about if you don't, what would you do? What would you do if you couldn't go to the store for 2 weeks or you didn't have power for 2 or 3 weeks? What would you need? And we got to start thinking practically. You know, the Bible talks about in Hebrews 11, it says Noah, being warned of God, prepared an ark for his family. The warning should move us to do something. And like Justin said, be spiritually prepared. That's the most important thing. But then after that, you know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs that a wise man foresees the evil coming and hides himself. But a fool just keeps going and is punished. So God gives these prophecies, and it says the Lord will do nothing, but he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Well, why does God give these dreams and visions and prophetic words and revelations about these things that are coming? Because he wants his people to be prepared spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and then whatever physically they can do. I mean, I think about the Acts chapter 11 with the prophet Agabus, and he stood up and gave a word that there was going to be a famine come to the land. And so what did the people do? They immediately began to prepare for the famine and to be able to help people who would be hit the worst. So God gives us revelation ahead of time to help us protect and take care of people and help people the best we can. Just like Joseph with the dreams he interpreted for Pharaoh, that there would be 7 years of plenty and then there would be 7 years of famine so bad that it would devour all the years of plenty. Well, you know, we're about to enter the years of famine and difficulties, and people need to be able to brace themselves and prepare the best they can, and draw near to Jesus, get in the Word of God, learn the Word of God for yourself, pray, fast, understand God loves you, but there is judgment coming to the land. Understand that, you know, you should do what you can to provide what your family's going to need and people around you. Because some people are going to think you're crazy, they're not going to listen, but that's been the way it's always been. So, I mean, there's always been people who didn't listen, but you know, if you, I promise this, and this is what I've told people lately, and Justin, I'm sure you'll agree with this,
I told people, I said, trust me, you won't be sorry if you make preparation. The more, the better. And what's the worst thing that can happen? You end up with extra food and water around. Well, yeah, that'll always get used, you know. So,
amen to that.
So, you know, you've done nothing. You've done nothing wrong. Yeah. But anyway, well, brother, what we're going to do here, I guess we'll let you go. I'm going to take care of some business. We're going to take a break, but I have enjoyed having you on Prophecy Quake on our radio show here. It's been a blessing. I think God is definitely speaking to you and definitely giving you things that are very needful for the body of Christ, and we're going to have you back again for sure.
Thank you, Pastor Dean. It's been an honor to be on with you tonight. Thank you so much for the show and what you're doing. May God continue to bless it and use it in a wonderful, huge way.
Okay, brother. Again, thanks for being with us, and thanks for sharing your heart, and we'll be in touch, man. God bless.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you, Pastor Dean. God bless.
All right. Well, that was Justin Eldred with AHOP, the Auburn House of Prayer here in the area. A wonderful brother, definitely hearing from the Lord. Just to share with you, I mean, I get phone calls and emails and from people all over the place, and God is warning his people. We're getting warnings, just like he had this dream about the spaceships and appearing and an alien or a demon dropping down out of that and going around deceiving people, and warnings about earthquakes, warnings about difficulties coming our way. So that's what this program is about anyway. We're about the gift of prophecy. We're about Bible prophecy. We're about giving you the practical truth that Jesus is coming back, but before he comes back, there's going to be some difficulties. So listen, those of you out there, we got a few minutes left. We're going to take a short break. We got time. We'll have about 5 minutes or so for a caller or two. Brother Billy, if you want to call back in and pray with us before we leave out, or if somebody has a question or a comment, you're going to have just a few minutes to do that. Anyway, so give us a call after this break, and we'll talk to you in just a minute.
You've been listening to Prophecy Quake with Pastor Dean Odle. Be sure to join us next week, same time. And to further connect with us, go to deanodle.org or Facebook, Dean Odle Ministry.
Back
You're listening to Prophecy Quake with Pastor Dean Odle, and we've got about 4 minutes. So if you have, you got a little bit, call in, give us your question or comment. We like to play with the phones a little bit at the end of the show. But anyway, give me a call. The number is 347-884-8566. You know, I just want to go back while we're waiting here, and we got a few minutes. Just go back to the original part of the show there. We're talking about the coming alien deception. You know that this is, it's not only in the scriptures, I think we showed that. It shouldn't surprise us that demons, fallen angels are going to come and take physical form. But there are some people out there who really believe that this is going to happen. And I'm going to play a clip here from Paul Hellyer. Wait a minute, I'm not seeing that clip on here. Let's see, I'm looking for that clip on here. We had it. I don't know. I'm not seeing the clip, so I guess I won't be playing that. But anyway, just give me a call. We'll chat. If you got any questions, I appreciate those of you who have been out there listening tonight. I hope you were blessed by something you heard from Justin or through the conversation or through the scriptures. But listen, don't be fooled by what's coming. Let's see. I'm sorry. I know I'm pausing here for a second, but I was looking for a clip that we were supposed to have, and I think we just didn't upload it, maybe. Sophie, the Sophie clip? Don't see it. That one, yes. We'll have it in just a second. We'll play this, but this will just give you an idea. Paul Hellyer was the Canadian defense minister for many years. He pretty much set the path for the Canadian military in the day, but he is the highest cabinet-level operator, minister, or politician, whatever you want to call him, that's basically calling for the disclosure of the governments of the world and their alien things. And what's really, he believes that they're coming to help us. And anyway, you'll hear the little intro that they have where they're introducing Paul Hellyer. We're not going to play much of it. But anyway, it's pretty amazing when they say, you know, are they going to be our saviors? I mean, these are not, you know, tinfoil hat people who are sitting off, you know, in the woods, or hippies that's done a little too many drugs or whatever. These are people who are in high officials in government. So this is some serious stuff. But anyway, we're going to play the clip now from about Paul Hellyer. This is from a show that's on RT. So we're going to play it, and then we're going to be out. We'll be out. So you guys have a good evening, and here we get to you guys.
Hello, welcome to Sophie & Co. I'm Sophie Shevardnadze. Paul Hellyer served as the Canadian Minister of Defense in the 1960s, shaping the country's armed forces for years to come. It was only in his retirement that he says he made a life-changing discovery. He became the first cabinet-level politician from a G8 country to publicly state that there is extraterrestrial life present on Earth. Is this an elaborate fantasy or alien science fiction? Or is there something to claims of their existence?
Extraterrestrial life. For ages, humanity has wondered, is there anything else in the cold darkness of space? Skeptics say there is no proof. But there have always been those who dared to dream. And some even claim to have seen things with their own eyes. Do aliens exist? Are they already here? Do they pose a threat? Or a chance for salvation?
You've been listening to Prophecy Quake with Pastor Dean Odle. Be sure to join us next week, same time, And to further connect with us, go to deanodal.org or Facebook, Dean Odal Ministries.